Mercy, peace, and love are yours through faith in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, for a few reasons, I would love if you brought your Bibles with you. Right? Try to bring that up from time to time. Ideally, the Bible that you're regularly reading and regularly studying. So then you can open it up and you can make notes. You can make observations while you're listening along. And also because, guess what? Down here, there's no Bible in the pew rack in front of you. All right? So bring a Bible along, because we do like to, from time to time, kind of surf around and look at broader sections than what's printed on the back of the bulletin. And again, it's just a good practice to be able to read your own Bible and even make some notes in there. We're going to be looking at some sections of Proverbs. So if you have a Bible or you have your phone with you, you can pull it up there. And we can kind of scroll through some passages together. If you've got something open, you can open up to Proverbs chapter 1. That's the first place we'll look in a few moments. So looking through this book of Proverbs, you'll note that most of it's written by Solomon, just kind of a way of overview. Though there are, it is really kind of an anthology. Later on in the book, there are other sayings from other wise people, but most of it is from Solomon, compiled later on. So good stuff from King Solomon. If you look at the first 9 chapters, they serve as kind of a broad introduction to the whole of the book. They are invitations to wisdom and warnings against folly. Many different ways that Solomon pictures wisdom and folly and setting us up for all that is to come throughout the rest of the book. Starting in chapter 10, that's where we get into your kind of classic proverbs, those little sound bites of wisdom, those little golden nuggets that affect every aspect of how we live our lives. So that's the basic breakdown of how the book is structured. And Solomon, right from the get-go, chapter 1, tells us what the purpose of his book is, which is really the focus of our theme this morning. So if you could, if you have something, look with me, Proverbs chapter 1, right there at the beginning, where it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for the attaining of wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." So right there, he tells us and he lays out the topic of the whole book. Wisdom, right? He writes this for the attaining of wisdom and understanding, words of insight, acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just. Solomon writes so that his reader, his hearers, those instructed by him would gain wisdom. And that's our theme today. But note the warning he gives right at the end there. He tells us the source of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, which we'll talk about in detail next week. But he also gives kind of a warning here. He says, fools despise wisdom and discipline. So, people of God, right from the start, don't be a fool. Don't despise the good wisdom and the good discipline that is available to us here in the book of Proverbs and indeed throughout the entirety of God's word. All right. So wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom, I think you can come up with a variety of definitions, but wisdom is the ability, the capacity to take knowledge and understanding and then to actually live them out in a life that is fruitful, a life that glorifies God and serves one's neighbor. It's the capacity to take understanding and experience and know-how and skills and put them to good use in this world. I've been through this book of Proverbs many, many times. Long ago, I'm not sure how long I've been trying to do this. I'm not perfect at it. There's definitely days where it slips away and I don't do it. But my basic goal, and I don't think this is unusual, I think there's a lot of people that do this, but try to read a chapter a day, 31 chapters, right, corresponding to the day of the month. And read this again and again, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. These Proverbs really do start to embed themselves in you. You start to memorize them, that God starts to use them and speak to you. And I would love to say that all my time reading the Proverbs, now I am this incredible man of wisdom and I don't even need them anymore. But that's just not true. I think part of the way of wisdom is that as you read them and as you practice them and as you experience them, you come to the point where you realize how much more wisdom and understanding you still need. So the way of wisdom just kind of invites you down that path and tells you, you still need more, right? But I invite you on that journey. I invite you on that journey to read and meditate on the Proverbs here again and again and again and again. Wisdom is essential. It's absolutely essential. It's not just a nice little add-on. When you hear Solomon talk about wisdom, he doesn't talk about it as a thing that would be nice to have if you can acquire it. He talks about it as something that is absolutely essential, even a life or death issue. A life or death issue. I want you to think for just a few minutes about different gifts that we can have from God. And think about them in the absence of wisdom. They could be material gifts. They could be gifts that God gave to you as he knits you together in your mother's womb. They could be gifts you've acquired over hardship and experience. Any kind of natural gifting that God has given you. Think about those gifts in the absence of wisdom. Because remember, wisdom is taking knowledge and experience and then exercising them in actual life to the glory of God and the benefit of one's neighbor. So think about a very common one, money. Imagine you came into a large sum of money and yet have no wisdom. What good is the money to you? There's even some proverbs to that effect. What good is the money to you? What's the risk here? I think the first thing comes to mind that you might lose it, right? We think of the massive lottery winners who statistically, quite a few of them actually go bankrupt within 3 to 5 years, right? Money without wisdom. Think about all sorts of other things. Think of power. Just physical strength, the ability to exert force without wisdom. Do you know when to exert that force and when to restrain? You need wisdom for that. Think about influence. Have you been put into a position where you can influence other people? Maybe it's just a few. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a spouse. Maybe it's a lot of people. You have a position in a corporation. You have a capacity for influence. You have this capacity for influence, but you don't have wisdom. What's the good of that influence? Natural skills, natural aptitudes. Maybe you've been gifted with them from birth. Maybe it's a musical ability, an athletic ability. Maybe it's capacities that you have learned over the years. Maybe you have an acumen for business, something like that. What good are these skills, these talents, apart from wisdom? You have charisma. People are drawn to you. Maybe you have passion, you have zeal. But without wisdom, what good is it? I think the first thing we can think of, like the example with money, is that without wisdom, you have the danger of losing these things. Sometimes hard-earned, sometimes simply given by God. But you have the danger of losing these things. But there is a worse danger than simply losing them. If you have any of these gifts without wisdom, you are in a position to do great harm. If you are in a position to influence others but do not have wisdom, think of the damage that you can do. If you have charisma and are drawing people to yourself naturally, and yet don't have the wisdom to know what to do with this audience now, it could be disastrous. Lots and lots of money, lots and lots of power, lots and lots of position, apart from wisdom, can yield destruction. Wisdom is absolutely essential. It really is a life or death issue.
And I want you to listen or follow along with me for a few moments here to hear the sense of urgency when Solomon speaks to us about our need for wisdom. All right? Just kind of looking at a few sections from this first 9 chapters. There's a whole lot more we could look at. Listen, chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There'll be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And then he goes on, he warns about being led astray by sin and folly. Chapter 1:20, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? Chapter 2, from the back of the bulletin. My son, if you accept my words, notice the language he uses here to describe the pursuit and the acquisition of wisdom. Right? If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, notice how active this is. Wisdom is received not just purely in a passive way. It is an active pursuit that Solomon calls us to here. And notice what he says next, right? Verse 4. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Solomon gives us a picture that looking for wisdom is like and even better than looking for valuable silver, looking for buried and hidden treasures. So great should be our hunger and thirst and pursuit of wisdom that it would equal or surpass those pursuits for material wealth. Hear his passion. Verse chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Chapter 4, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention, gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. Chapter 4, 7, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. The NIV tries to get this to interpret the force of this. It says, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Do you hear the passion? Do you hear how Solomon values wisdom as paramount above all? It would be better in Solomon's view, and you'll read the Proverbs to that effect, it would be better if you were stripped of all of those other gifts we had before, we talked about before, but had wisdom, rather than the other way around. It would be better to only have wisdom and nothing else than to have all of these other gifts and not an ounce of wisdom. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words. Chapter 5. Chapter 7. My son, listen to the language and the imagery here. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Protect it, right? As the pupil, that you don't want your eye gouged out so that you're blinded. It's so precious. It's so necessary. It's so essential. Bind them on your fingers. You want them always with you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Memorize wisdom. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your kinsman. Have such a close and intimate relationship with wisdom that she is like a close relative from whom you do not want to be separated and for whom you care deeply. Chapter 8, wisdom personified. Wisdom itself calls out. pleads with us, urges us, delights in this gift from God. Chapter 9, the two invitations, wisdom and folly, right? Wisdom builds her house, hews out her pillars, prepares her meal, and she calls in, come, eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed, leave your simple ways and you will live, walk in the way of understanding. Do you hear the earnestness of his plea? Do you hear his intensity? Do you hear how important the pursuit of wisdom is above all else? My prayer is that you will have that same intensity, that same pursuit, that same hunger, that same thirst for wisdom. What's the source of wisdom? It's got to be obvious. What is it? It's God, right? Got a lot of fingers pointing up and pointing to the Bible. Right, the source of wisdom is God. Right, it's right there, chapter 2, right? Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God is the source of all wisdom. Wisdom is an attribute of God. It is a derivative. We experience wisdom that's derived. We only get wisdom, it's not natural to ourselves. But it's natural to God. It is what God is. God is the all-wise one, eternally, infinitely wise. Not only does he know all things, but he knows what to do with the knowledge that he has. He is absolutely wise. The source of all wisdom is God himself. And the voice that we hear throughout the book of Proverbs is none other than the voice of our Father in heaven. Right? He speaks this through Solomon, and Solomon writes this addressing his children in court to prepare them to be rulers and kings and governors and leaders in the land. But this is truly the voice of our Father addressing us as his children. When you listen to the words of Solomon, that is who he's speaking to. When you hear the words sons, daughters, that's you. This is the voice of your loving and generous God desiring the best for you. God is wanting to sit down with you and pour out the wisdom that he has so that you will be new and different and better. I think of the waning time I have with my kids as some of them prepare to move on, and I realize I have missed as many opportunities as I've taken. I've missed a lot of opportunities to pour into them. And I think of that earnestness of a father sitting there desperately trying to impart wisdom on his children. And this is our God wanting to sit with us as often as we will sit and listen to him, wanting to give us wisdom. There's no other source. There's no better source than God himself. This is the voice of your father who loves you. And yes, there is often time when I will read Proverbs, or I'll be living life and a proverb will come into my mind and it'll sting. It'll convict me. It'll open up my heart and show me that I've messed up. Right? A proverb will show up and say, you just sinned against your wife. Or you just sinned against your kids. Or you just let your neighbor down. Or you just sinned against my glory. But remember, what's the goal of God every time he brings conviction? What does he desire for us? He desires nothing but our good, right? So when he convicts us, when he cuts us like that, and we're aware of our foolishness, our recklessness, our sinfulness, where is God trying to drive us? Right to Jesus, every time, right? Every time. Every time you feel that prick of conscience, every time the proverb might do its work and cut you, you might realize how insufficient you are compared to what God's perfection is. It drives you to Jesus. And as often as we stumble, as often as we fall, we say, God, forgive me. And we trust that he is gracious because he has given us his one and only Son into death on the cross to pay the full penalty of our sins. And to make us new, and to make us whole, and to make us wise. So the Proverbs may occasionally cut us and wound us, but only so that we will find healing and life in Jesus. And those same problems then will get us up and move us forward and show us how to live. It's the voice of our Father who loves us. We'll also hear the voice of the Son of God himself speaking to us. Chapter 8, marvelous wisdom personified. It's the voice of the Son of God speaking to us. For what does Paul tell us about Jesus and the relationship between Christ and wisdom? Colossians, he tells us that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He tells us in Corinthians that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Whew. May God give you peace. Christ is the wisdom of God, the eternal wisdom of God, come to us in human flesh, right? In him are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when you hear the voice crying out in the Proverbs, come to me, I fixed my meal, my wine, my drink. Hear Jesus, right? Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to you, who you are thirsty, and I will give you to drink. Come to me, who you are hungry. I am the bread of life, right? This is Jesus. This is the Son of God also speaking to us, inviting us to come to him and him alone for wisdom. He's the source. And do you see how available this is? Do you see how readily God longs to give you this gift of wisdom, to impart to you, to craft in you this wisdom? When he pleads with you, when he invites you, when he commands you, see how much he wants you to have this gift. So how do we obtain it? God holds it out for us. What do we do? First, you simply ask for it, right? You say, God, please give me wisdom. Please make me wise. Right there in Proverbs 2, the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come understanding. And what does he say right before that? If you call out for insight, if you cry aloud for understanding. What does the half-brother of our Lord, James, say about wisdom? Do you remember that? James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God gives us a guarantee that if you trust him and you ask for wisdom, wisdom will be given. It's one of those few absolute certainties for which you can pray for. You can pray for a lot of things, and maybe God in his wisdom will hold them back from you and say no, or not yet. But the scriptures make it clear that when you ask for wisdom, it is yours. The same as when you ask for the Holy Spirit, the same as when you ask for forgiveness and salvation. Call on me, right? And you will be saved. Those are absolute guarantees. I think that slightly below that is like the prayer for patience and humility. It's not always immediately evident, but a lot of times you pray for patience and what happens? You're driving down Route 5 behind a tobacco tractor. But prayer for wisdom, it's one of those that God promises to deliver. So ask, right? Above all, ask. Cry aloud. Ask for it. Get down on your face and beg God, please give me wisdom. And hear his voice. He wants to give it to you. So you ask for it, and then listen, right? Listen. For the Lord gives knowledge. From his voice come knowledge and understanding, right? Wisdom comes from the mouth of the Lord. So listen. Listen. Do not despise the public reading of this word or the preaching of this word. Do not leave this book stuck on a shelf in your house somewhere or buried in a trunk somewhere. But pull this out and regularly read it and listen
to the voice of your Father, the voice of your Savior, the call of the Spirit, giving you exactly the thing you've asked for. Especially this book of Proverbs, but throughout the whole of the Bible, is giving you these nuggets of wisdom. Listen, right? Listen regularly, diligently, studiously. Meditate on it. Repeat these kernels of wisdom again and again and again. Chew on them. Ask for it. Listen. And then practice it, right? James also warns us. He says, don't just listen to what God says, but do what it says. Part of wisdom is in the exercise of that knowledge, of that understanding. It's putting it into practice, right? So we ask God for this gift, we listen to Him, and then we do what He says. We attempt to practice it. And as we strive to live that way out, what happens? We find out we need more of it. So we go back and we ask God. And we listen to Him. And we put it into practice. And we discover the need for more, so we ask God. And we listen, and we put it into practice. And that becomes our constant pattern for life. And that's how God makes us wise, right? He makes us wise through the asking and the listening and the practicing of it. Walk in this way of wisdom. Pursue this way of wisdom. Don't be a fool. Your God loves you. He's proven it through His Son. And He wants to give you all good things, the best things, even Himself, even His own wisdom. So pursue that path of wisdom. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.